So that brings us to the second of the 7 points, seeing the kindness of our mother. Okay. So like I said, it could be the kindness of whoever it was who took care of you when you were little. You know, so even though I may say mother, you can substitute somebody else. Okay? But to think of the kindness that we've received, especially when we were young and couldn't take care of ourselves. And I think, you know, it's important to think about this because this is one of the things that we take for granted. You know, we might be very upset, oh, you know, my mom didn't take care of me, she just put me in daycare, and or, you know, my dad didn't take me to the baseball game, he was too busy working overtime, and, you know, we might just complain. But, you know, hey, they gave us a body, and they arranged for somebody to take care of us, even if they weren't able to be with us 24 hours a day. And for those of you who have kids, you know that you cannot be with your infant 24 hours a day, can you? How many of you have kids? You need a break from your kids sometimes, don't you? To be a good parent, you need a break from your kids. Sometimes that's the best thing you can do for your kids is, you know, mom and dad, take a time out. Yeah? So we know that, you know, when we look at our parents, they couldn't have been with us all the time, but they arranged for other people to take care of us. You know, how do we know they arranged for other people to take care of us? Because we're alive today. And without having care when we were infants or toddlers, we would have died. I mean, it's very clear. Because you leave an infant alone without any care, they starve to death. You know, they choke, they can't roll over, they get too hot, they get too cold, they die. Even a toddler. Now, we probably all have stories that our parents have told us of things we've done as kids, how we've almost killed ourselves. Yeah? Anybody have a story they want to tell? Yeah? But there's always stories. I remember even Lama Osel, he is the incarnation of Lama Yeshe, who's one of my teachers. He's the little boy who was born in Spain. Some of you may have heard about him. So I remember when he was very, very young, because they found him when he was an infant, actually. And he was in India. He was probably about a year and a half old or 2 years old at this time. And he was at the Dharma Center, so there were a lot of people around, and he put something in his mouth and started to choke, you know. So all the monks and nuns are going, what do we do, you know, because most of the monks and nuns didn't have kids, you know. Lolo's choking, what do we do? And his mother came up at that time, and it was the most remarkable thing, because he was the fifth child, so she'd had lots of practice. She just scooped him up by his feet, hung him upside down, whacked him on the back, and what he was choking on came out, and she put him right side up again. And for her, this was just, you know, what you know, common day's work. And she just did it so smoothly. But it made such an impression on me because I thought, you know, this is what our parents did for us. Because for sure we were always putting stuff in our mouths, choking and, you know, putting our fingers in the electric plugs. And, you know, we've done all sorts of things. Yeah? So ask your parents sometime to tell you stories. Because I'm sure there's many of them. And, you know, our parents just stepped in and took care of us. Or if they weren't there, somebody stepped in and took care of us. Okay? Because if they didn't, we wouldn't be here. So just thinking about that kindness from when we were a helpless infant, I think is very important. You know, it really helps us get in tune with the kindness that we've received in our life and to feel grateful about it. And then to think a little bit about what else our parents have got, you know, given to us. I mean, they provided for us. You know, we got shoes, we got clothes, we got, you know, toys. Not as many toys as we wanted and not the clothes we wanted, but, you know, and not always the food we wanted. But we got what we needed, didn't we? And I look at myself, and you know, I was a picky, fussy eater. I didn't like most of the clothes that I got, you know, just constantly complaining. I mean, I will do a true confession here. I remember being a kid and having a birthday party, and you know, my parents going completely out of their way to have a birthday party for me and invite my friends over and have the cake and a clown and the whole thing. And at the end of the day, what do? I go in my room and cry because it's going to be a whole year until I have another birthday. This is what I did, I confess, you know. I mean, just, you know, this mind that complains, isn't it? Always looking for, you know, how come I didn't have more? How come I didn't get better? You know, have better. And I remember having a pair of shoes that I didn't like, you know, and I was taught that you wear things till, you know, till they wear out, as you will notice as you look at the clothes I wear that are often, you know. Besides, I hate shopping, so you get new stuff. But, you know, I was taught that you just don't wear something and throw it out, that you wear it until it's old. So I remember, another true confession, I've never told my mother this, that remember when I'm walking home from school and dragging the toe of my shoe on the asphalt so that the toe of the shoe would get all scruffed up and wrecked so that then I could throw those shoes out and hopefully get some that I like? Yeah? Well, you're looking at me like you didn't do anything wrong as a kid. Is it only me? Was I the only obnoxious bratty kid?
I didn't do that one.
You didn't do that one. What did you do?
I don't.
You don't remember doing anything?
Remember doing that.
We'll ask your parents. I'm sure they remember. My parents remind me of the things that I did as a kid. Like the time that I wanted to help them. So I went into the garden to dig up the weeds, and I dug up the new plants they had just planted instead. So, but, you know, what I'm getting at is to look back and see how much our parents gave us, you know, and how much they did take care of us. Now, sometimes our parents made arrangements for us to have an education, you know, and they taught us themselves. They did the whole goo-goo ga-ga bit so we would learn to talk, you know, and then when we started to talk, they couldn't shut us up. So all we did is say, I want, and give me, and no, you know. That's our usual vocabulary. But, you know, they taught us to talk. They made sure we got an education. I mean, didn't they? Just sending us to school, making us do our homework. Sometimes we didn't even want to do our homework. They made us do our homework. We may have had fits because we had to do homework. But looking back on it now, it's good that they made us do the homework, isn't it? You know? And I remember often, you know, well, sometimes as a kid, my parents making me do things that I didn't want to do. And at the time, I would throw fits. And I am so glad now that they did that, because I see as an adult, I have the ability to do unpleasant things that need to be done. Not too unpleasant, of course. But, you know, I'm okay with doing things I don't want to do. You know, because they trained me as a kid sometimes to do things that I didn't want to do. And I'm very glad now that they insisted that. They didn't just let me get out of it every time I said no. And, one thing they made me do is, because often I wouldn't want to go to different activities. Yeah, it's like, oh, the kids are playing ball, and I was lousy, you know, I don't want to do that, or I don't want to go here, I don't know anybody, or, you know, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. And my parents would always say, just go, you'll have a good time, you'll make some friends, and you'll have a good time. And I'm, no, I don't want to go, you know. Well, they made me go. And I would always have a good time. And I would always make some friends, you know? And so I see that now, and I'm very grateful to them for it, because it helped me get over this fear of going into environments where I don't know anybody. And it helped me kind of get over the thing of, you know, being too shy. Because they would always say, go, you'll have, you know, you'll make friends. And I went and had some friends. And it was also very useful. Because my teacher did the same thing to me. I remember many years ago, he was taking, you know, there's a group of people going to Tibet, and I didn't want to go. It's like, oh, it's too long, and, you know, the traveling over, because going overland is really hard. I've been traveling so much, and I'm tired, and I don't want to go overland, and I'll get sick. And Rinpoche, I don't want to go to Tibet. I just want to stay here in India. He said, go, you'll have a good time, you'll make some friends. So, you know, the way I was brought up as a Dharma student is if your teacher tells you to do something, you do it, like with parents. So I went, and I had a good time. And in fact, I didn't want to leave. I wanted to stay in Tibet, you know. So what I'm getting at is that, you know, in the process of giving me an education, even though I was resistant to some things and didn't want to do some of the things that my parents wanted me to do, looking back on it now, I'm very, very glad that they had me do those things, because it gave me skills, and it gave me the ability to have confidence that I, you know, probably wouldn't have had otherwise. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, in your meditation, look back in your own lives. We've all had things, you know, think about things from your childhood. And, you know, somebody once said, in America, we look at childhood as a disease you have to recover from, you know, because we're all complaining about our parents, you know. But don't look at your childhood that way. Look at, you know, the things that you did in a child, and even the things you didn't enjoy, you know. My dad tried to teach me to play tennis, you know. You have Miss Klutz here, okay? Any kind of competitive sport, I don't like competitive sports, you know, because it's too much pressure, and my fragile little ego couldn't handle it. And, you know, here's my dad trying to teach me to play tennis, and, you know, I was just a disaster. Luckily, my brother turned out to be a good tennis player, but you know. And even though I put up a fight about that, you know, I tried, and I didn't do very well. But I look back at, you know, and at how kind my dad was, just to have that endurance to try and teach me something, you know? Because I wasn't necessarily always a cooperative kid. And just that he had that patience, that willingness to teach me something, even though it wasn't something I did well at or something I wanted to do. You know, just that willingness to teach. Okay? So look back in your own family background and think about some of these things. You know? And I also think about how my parents went to work. Now, I mean, as a kid, did you ever think about how your folks got the money to support you and, you know, get you your rulers and your toys and things like that? We didn't. But think about what they did all day long. Yeah. I mean, my dad was a dentist. He spent hours looking in people's mouths every day. I mean, what a job. Can you imagine that? Hours every day looking inside somebody's smelly mouth, you know, trying to fix it and make the teeth good and pulling out the teeth and blood coming and, you know, the whole thing. And he did that. Yeah? And I look, and my dad did that. You know, and then I was this brat who cried because I wouldn't have another birthday party for a whole year. And just thinking, you know, of what they did just to get the money so that I had the things to live. Okay? You know, so spend some time thinking about, you know, your mom, some of you may be as old as I was, where your mom, you know, stayed at home, or some of your moms may have had to go out and work. But think of what they did just to get the money to give us clothes and a place to live. And how taxing that was for them. you know, and they'd go out to work and they'd come home, you know, and there were these demanding kids. Yeah. And, you know, what it took for them to be a parent and to really appreciate that, you know, and see their kindness. And so really spend some time thinking about it in terms of your own parents, and then generalize from there to, well, everybody's been my parent. So everybody at one time or another has been kind to me in this same way. But, you know, really in your meditation, go back through and, you know, think of the kindness of our parents for giving us the body. I mean, think of what your mother went through being pregnant. Yeah? They say that labor, that it's called labor for a good reason. You know, that it's the hardest work you're ever going to do. And you're exhausted afterwards, and then, you know, here's this baby that you still look at with total delight. Yeah, no matter what you went through physically and how painful it was, the baby's always a delight. Now, imagine that. I mean, I wouldn't go through anything painful and then look at somebody else happy afterwards. But that's, you know, just, and, you know, all the discomfort our mother went through being pregnant, you know, having your body go out to here, you know, I think must be very uncomfortable, and you have to watch what you eat, and you can't move, you know, you kind of have the pregnant waddle. And, you know, the labor pains, and, I mean, the whole thing, and think, you know, about our mother going through that for us, you know, and giving us the body that we have. I mean, that's an incredible amount of kindness right there. You know? And then think about how our parents took care of us when we were young, like I was saying, protected us. Think about how they made sure we got an education and how they taught us things themselves. Uh-huh. Think about how they gave us enjoyments, you know, and things that we liked. Mm-hmm. So and think about how they also had to teach us manners. And that must have been a real drag as a parent to have to teach your kid manners. It would be so nice to have a kid who was just well-behaved and polite to start with, you know, wouldn't it? Some nice kid who always said please and thank you, who always cleaned up after themselves, who, you know. But we weren't like that, and our parents had to discipline us sometimes because we misbehaved. And, you know, I never liked being disciplined because it was never my fault. I never did anything wrong. Never, ever. I mean, remember, when you were a kid, did you ever do anything wrong? No, we never did anything wrong. It was always our brother and sister's fault, or the kid across the street who made us do it, or it's always somebody else's fault. But we never did anything wrong. And yet our parents, you know, were there trying, you know, they had to discipline us and teach us manners, and they had to teach us how to deal with not being able to get what we wanted. And I think that's a great skill that parents teach kids, is how to deal with frustration and not being able to get what you want. Because there's no way the kids can go through life always getting what they want. You know, so you have, those of you who are parents, you have to teach your kids how to deal with that frustration. You know, and our parents taught us. They may not have always taught us, you know, in the way we wanted it to be taught, and they could have given us a little bit more of what we wanted. But think about it, you know, they had to really teach us some very basic life skills. You know, they had to teach us manners and how to be polite and how to pick up after ourselves. You know, sometimes we're still not very good at that. But, you know, it's just so many skills and things that we need to know in order to live and to function in society. You know, they taught us to look both ways before you cross the street. You know? Or how to ride a tricycle. Yeah? I mean, all these things that we take for granted. And yet, you know, there were people in our lives when we were little who taught us all these things. Not Alex. He can't ride a bike. Some of you can't ride a bike.
Wow.
Yeah. But, you know, as for the rest of us, somebody taught us how to ride a bike. And so, you know, there's just think about all these kinds of things. And when you do, you know, this is your homework assignment, this is your meditation for this week. When you do, really try and let your heart open and feel the kindness of your parents. You know, let yourself experience that. And if you want to call your parents or write them a letter and express that, do it. Don't hold back. You know, it can be very beneficial if you do this meditation and really get in touch with the kindness of your parents. You know, if you feel like you want to express it, calling or writing, don't hold back. Do it. You know, it can be very, very rewarding for them. Okay. Questions or comments?
You were saying that the hungry ghosts don't have they don't have a parent.
Some of them have parents and some don't. Some hungry ghosts have parents and some are like spirits who are just born, you know, kind of, they're called transformations. They are magical rebirth like that. They just appear.
And the ones who have parents similar to humans? Like they're already hungry ghosts and they meet and they...
Yeah. There's the story. Everybody's interested in hungry ghosts. It's interesting, isn't it? We talk about the kindness of our parents, something very personal, and what do we ask questions about? Something unrelated to ourselves. But anyway, there's a story of one hungry ghost at the time of the Buddha who had 500 kids who were all hungry. And she was stealing food. And the Buddha said, you know, that's not so good to steal food, even if it is for your kids. And so he began the practice of having the monastics, and I think other people too, make offerings to the hungry ghosts to feed them. So that different Buddhist traditions do it in different ways. In the Tibetan tradition, we take a little bit of food after our last meal, and we hold it in our hand, we make it a certain shape, and we say a mantra and throw it out and offer it to the hungry ghost. In the Chinese tradition, they offer some grains of rice to the hungry ghost before they eat. But it's the whole idea of, you know, offering food.
What really is a hungry ghost? I mean, it's always kind of nebulous.
Let's talk about what I just talked about our mothers. Maybe I'll talk about hungry ghosts a little bit later. You know, but let's stay. I mean, I was hoping that that what I said generated some feelings inside of you. Let's stay with that instead of exiting from it. Okay?
This is on topic.
Okay.
As you described the meditation on considering the kindness of your mothers, also, it seemed like there was a lot of stuff about appreciating what you got so you would make good use of it. So I mean, it's kind of working both ways. Not only like you're the grand recipient of having all this stuff and that it's a done deal and being thankful that you've already got it, but it's, I think, about some of the lessons that I haven't really followed. So is that the purpose of this, or is that just sort of an accidental byproduct?
Yeah. So this thing of feeling appreciation or wanting to do something good with all that we've received, you know, that actually comes into the next step, which is repaying the kindness. Okay? That's why the next step is repaying the kindness. And they say to generate that feeling of repaying the kindness, that it comes automatically once you've thought about the kindness you've received. So it's very much, yeah, you're doing it right. Yeah.
I thought that was an accident.
No. I mean, because it's kind of automatic when we see ourselves as the recipients of a lot of kindness, then just automatically we want to give back, don't we? And we want to make use of what we've been given because we appreciate it. So that comes automatically. So that's actually the third step.
I have a question. How would I work with this? In my work, I see a lot of children brought in, and they from a clairpoint, or, you know, they seem to have tragic situations, very much like what you're talking about in terms of the people in prison.
Mm-hmm.
So how would I work with that in terms of interacting with these?
Okay, so she works in an ER room, and you left out that part,
yes.
You know, and sees many children in a tragic circumstance. So what can you do, being that you're somebody that they're seeing? You're not their parent, you can't solve their situation, but you have some contact with them. There's a few different things. One is, you can be one kind adult in their life. You know, there might be a lot of drunken or drug using adults in their life, but you can be one sane, kind adult who respects and treats them well as a child. You know, if somebody is, you know, suffering, if a child is suffering from some kind of abuse that needs being reported, then you report it. Yeah. Or another way to help the child might be if you have a chance to talk to the parents sometimes. You know, just it doesn't have to be a big thing to the parents, but sometimes give the parent an idea about how to handle their own frustration, their own rage, so they don't take it out on the kids. But I think especially, you know, just being one sane adult for that kid. And the same for your nieces and nephews. You know, your brothers and sisters may be excellent parents, but I think kids also need more adults in their lives. No. And so if you can be a good aunt and uncle or a good next door neighbor, you know, be an adult in some other kid's life, that can be very, very powerful. Let's spend a few minutes sitting silently.